friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thursday is a rest day at the Africa Women's Cup of Nations football tournament in Ghana. Our VOA football fans will remember this competition doubles as a qualifying tournament for next year's Women's World Cup in France. The top three African teams in Ghana will book tickets to the 2019 Women's World Cup. In results Wednesday, South Africa and defending African women's champion Nigeria both won by big margins. South Africa routed Equatorial Guinea 7-1, while Nigeria defeated Zambia 4-0. Both matches were played in Cape Coast, Ghana. For reaction to Nigeria's victory, reporter Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the team's former head coach, Edwin Okan.
Well, I'm so happy. All we need is just the 3 points. If the goal comes, we thank God. But if it doesn't come, all we need is just that 3 points to boost the morale and ego of the girls. And I think watching the match yesterday, I was happy that we got that 3 points. That is a major thing. Even if we come second, it doesn't mean that I know that we top the group at the end of the day.
What do you think went wrong with Nigeria's match against South Africa, the one that they lost by a lone goal?
I did not watch the match, but it happens to any team. It's either you win or you lose or you draw. The worst of it is lost. So I think they've tested the worst and they've seen the good side of the game yesterday. I do pray we are not praying for the bad one to come.
Do you think the Super Falcons you've coached before have the potentials to win the trophy?
All the players that are there has been players that I've used for the 20 to the Super Falcons level. I've not seen any new player in that team. And all the players are very good players, but it all depends on the handlers. They should have as well forget who is there as a coach, as a manager, as that. But they should think of their homes, think of their names, then think of the country back home. They should try as much as to raise their game above what, according to people, that they played badly against South Africa. And they should make sure that they come out of that and raise their game. And I think they did it yesterday. So I have not seen any new intakes into the team, in which we expect to see. We do not build for today, we build for tomorrow.
Do you see Cameroon as a threat to Nigeria in this tournament?
Well, the way the Zambians played yesterday in their first half, I think just that lack of experience in their final balls. If not, it wouldn't have been that easy for us. So there is no team in Africa that is a pushover again, because every team tries as much as can to bring up the younger ones, to try as much as can to see how they can beat Nigeria. So Cameroon is a big name. Cameroon is a big name. Cameroon is a big team. There is no team that is pushover. My brother, I always use one language. Nobody sleeps on top of bike. A moving bike, you can't sleep on top of it. If you sleep on top of it, you make sure you pay for it. So if you sleep, there is no team that will not pay for it. So Cameroon is not a pushover. They are a very big team in Africa, even in the world, as it concerns female football.
That's Edwin Okan, the former head coach of Nigeria's national women's football team. Okan is currently the technical advisor of Rivers Angels, a Nigerian female professional football club based in Port Harcourt. And he spoke with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye in Port Harcourt, Nigeria. We heard Edwin Okan describe Cameroon as a very big team in Africa. The Cameroonian women top Group A with the maximum 6 points in Ghana after victories over Mali and Algeria. In matches Friday at the Africa Women's Cup of Nations, Cameroon will play host Ghana and Algeria will meet Mali. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. For more on the Africa Women's Cup of Nations football tournament, our friend in Accra, Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori, spoke with Ghanaian soccer analyst Kojo Shira.
It has been very interesting tournament. Ghana opened the tournament by beating Algerians by 1-0, which many Ghanaians weren't satisfied about the performance of the Ghanaians. Another shock also came when South Africa trashed a Nigerian counterpart by 1-0, which the goal came at the die moment of the game. The second game that we've watched from the Ghana group. Today, I know a lot of Ghanaians are disappointed because, one, the team couldn't exhibit the quality display as we were expected. It seems like attacking-wise, we were very sluggish. We lost focus at a certain point because when Ghana was down, you could see Ghana was trying to do everything, I mean, to come on level pegging. Ghana got the equalizer through the spot kick. It seems all of a sudden, Ghanaian went back to sleep for the Malians to be able to capitalize on that and then also make the winner out of it. But in the evening, during the first half between the Algeria and then Cameroon, Algerians were really entertaining, tried to swing some passes together beautifully. But Cameroonians, they were using their strength to bulldoze their way to be able to get at the needed scoreline. So I must say the tournament has been very interesting, but I think Ghanaians are much more disappointed based on what the Black Queens have been exhibited so far.
How do you talk about the chances of those who are going to go to the next round?
To start with Nigeria, their destiny is in their own hands, having lost in their first game. Now, when it comes to Ghana, Black Queens, I think now their chances are very slim because I don't see how the magic or the trick will work for them. In case Ghana even beat Cameroonians, and then the Malians are able to also beat the Algerians, which to me, the Algerians have been whipping girls. If that scenario happens, what it means is that at the end of the day, Ghana beating Cameroon, Mali beating Algeria, head-to-head-wise, Malians will be on top. And performance the Cameroonians have been exhibiting, it will be very difficult for you to even convince yourself that Ghana will be able to go through.
So, what about the organization of this competition?
I wouldn't say they've had everything, perfectly. The games that we've been watching so far, people have been complaining, even just about the ball girls. They've been that sluggish. You know, sometimes what we're expecting them to do, they are not doing it. They sometimes make the games dull. Aside that, even tonight, if you watch even the floodlight, you could clearly see shadows. Yeah, and sometimes you ask yourself, in this era of professionalism, where we are talking about effective technology, you don't expect a team or a tournament of such caliber to be played under floodlight, whereby you see shadows on the field. So I think regarding that, it has been a very big failure regarding the floodlight aspect. But in terms of the game, we've had a very quality game. Even the Algerians who lost a 3-goal margin, you could see a very beautiful game, and I think that was good.
What about the fans, the crowd?
The fans has not been that massive comparing to if this tournament would have been for men. It has not been effective. But the few supporters who have been in the stadium, you could see that they have their enthusiasm. They are really passionate about what they are watching. Especially Cameroonians, if you watch their few supporters who were there blowing horns and singing and all that, it's been that massive. You can also talk about Ghana, Ghana supporters, you know. Yeah, they've been also been very massive. Whenever they are at the Osu end of the field, at that upper side, you could see them chanting. And yeah, the attendance has not been that good, but you could see the few crowds in the stadium have been showing that they are here because of football.
After watching all the group games, we have only three teams qualifying to the France 2019 World Cup.
Yeah.
What is your tip?
I'll be bold to tip Cameroonians. Mm-hmm. South African, per what they displayed earlier against Nigerians. And Nigerians, I'm expecting them to also make the number. So Cameroonians, and then South African, and then Nigerian.
That's Ghanaian soccer analyst Kojo Shira, who's picking Cameroon, South Africa, and Nigeria to book tickets to next year's Women's World Cup in France. And Kojo was talking with reporter Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori in Ghana's capital, Accra. Just ahead, I'll chat with Dan Friedel about the Thanksgiving Day holiday here in the United States. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Joining us now from Boston, Massachusetts on the Thanksgiving Day holiday is our sporty friend Dan Friedel. Dan, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Sonny. It's good to be here on this most American of holidays.
What are you doing in Boston, Dan?
I'm here to visit my family and enjoy some turkey and fabulous side dishes later on today. You know, a lot of people decide that they're going to have to mitigate the calorie bomb of the big Thanksgiving meal, and they try to get some exercise in the morning before Thanksgiving.
Are there any athletic endeavors that Americans participate in, Dan?
You know, Sonny, I'm talking to you right now, just a short jog from the finish line of the famous Boston Marathon here in downtown Boston. But usually it's more of an easy jog on Thanksgiving morning. It's very cold here today, and people probably are going to run a little bit faster than they might run otherwise. But in a lot of cities, there are fundraisers. There's a charity for one thing or another, maybe a homeless shelter, maybe a soup kitchen, some way for athletes to give back to the community. And they'll have a fun 5-kilometer, 5-mile run on the morning of Thanksgiving just to get the blood flowing and set up for the next part of the day. And it's a pretty fun endeavor, and a lot of people really look forward to it all year. It's a good chance to be out in the community and have a little fun before the big turkey feast.
Dan, Thanksgiving is a time when Americans reflect a little bit and maybe count their blessings. You've made no secret that you're a big Cleveland sports fan. Are there any Cleveland sports stories that you're thankful for in 2018?
You know, Sonny, I'm looking at the list of the last 20 years of Cleveland Cavaliers basketball, and the thing that's so noticeable is the influence of LeBron James on the sporting atmosphere in Cleveland. When he came into the league in the early 2000s, the Cavs were a long-suffering franchise. They had some success in the late 80s, but were never able to get past those strong Eastern Conference Chicago Bulls and Detroit Pistons teams, never really were able to get over the hump. And then LeBron came in the early 2000s, and next thing you know, the Cavs are winning 50 games a year. They're competing for the Eastern Conference title. Of course, they only made it to the finals once during LeBron's first run as a Cavs player, losing in the finals to San Antonio. But when LeBron came back from Miami, he really followed through on his promise of winning a championship, a major sports championship for Cleveland. And, you know, I was born in 1975 and saw a lot of suffering in the eyes of my friends and family when the Cleveland sports teams would lose in the playoffs, or maybe the baseball team would lose 100 games and never be competitive. It was really a pleasure to see how much fun people had watching LeBron. Now, you know, 4 years in a row in the finals with one championship is outstanding. Certainly people were a little bit disappointed about how the finals went last year, but 4 years with one championship, that's nothing to sneeze at. It was really amazing to see him be a part of the Cleveland sports atmosphere these last few years.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I'm talking with sports reporter Dan Friedel in Boston. Dan, LeBron recently returned to Miami wearing the uniform of the Los Angeles Lakers. He posted 51 points. Your reaction to that scoring outburst by LeBron?
Well, you know, LeBron is he's the best player. I mean, he can do that every night if he wants to. I think he's trying to form the Lakers into a cohesive unit, so he really can't do that every game. But I was watching some highlights of the Lakers' win over Portland last week where LeBron surpassed Wilt Chamberlain on the all-time scoring list. I mean, what he does is really outstanding. And I was listening to an interview that Kevin Love gave recently. You know, Kevin Love now is going to be on the injured list probably until early 2019 with his foot injury. The Cavs have the worst record in the NBA with only 2 wins. But what Kevin Love said was that LeBron is such a great player that he can bail the team out anytime that he wants. You know, you've got a play set up and it doesn't work. Get the ball to LeBron, and he'll make a 40-footer. Or if you remember that game that was an overtime game where the Cavs beat the Wizards in Washington a couple of years ago, Kevin Love made a pass all the way down the floor to the opposite corner, and LeBron made the shot that sent the game into overtime where the Cavs wound up winning. I mean, he's the kind of guy that can bail you out of a bad situation anytime, and there's just not too many players like that in the history of the game. And that's what he means to the Cavs. You can see the Cavs are a 50-win team with him. They're a maybe 20-win team without him, and the Lakers are probably a playoff team with him. It's really amazing to see how great he is and what kind of influence he has on these teams.
Cleveland, definitely one of the major sports cities in the United States, Dan. In Major League Baseball, Cleveland has the Indians, and in American-style football, Cleveland has the Browns. What about the Browns and the Indians? Any gratitude there, Dan?
Well, I was just looking at the history of the Browns going back about 20 years, and they've averaged about 4 wins per season. And some of our listeners probably don't know that the Cleveland Browns are a pretty big joke the last couple of years in the American sports scene. They won 1 game and lost 31 in 2016 and 2017 combined. And very early this year in September, they won their first game in quite a long time, beating the New York Jets. The Browns have won 3 games this year. You know, I'm thankful that the Browns are a competitive football team again. It's nice to know that when the Browns are playing, they have a chance to win. I mean, they might not only, you know, might only win 6 games this year or 5 games this year, but the fact that it's not a guaranteed losing game every time they go out there on Sunday or Thursday or whatever time the game is. It's a real nice thing to know that they're a competitive team again. And on the other hand, the Cleveland Indians, they were in the World Series a couple of years ago. They were as sort of close as possible to winning the World Series without winning the World Series, coming up to bat in the bottom of the ninth inning in the final game with the chance to win the game with one swing, wound up losing to the Cubs in extra innings. But the Cleveland Indians, under the management of Terry Francona, who was a great manager here in Boston for a number of years, helping the Red Sox win World Series, you know, they've won 90, 80, 94, 100 games, 91 games. It's really nice. You want your team to win the championship, but not every team can win the championship. Just ask the Los Angeles Dodgers, who were in the World Series 2 years in a row and lost both times. But when you look back on it after the full year has gone by, the fact that you've got a competitive team to root for and it's a pleasure to see them play most of the time, I'm thankful for that. It's really nice.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm talking with Dan Friedel in Boston. Dan, on a personal note, I'm thankful that you were able to host the Sunny Side of Sports more than a few times in 2018. I took some family leave because of the death of my mother, and I also took some other time off, and you were right there keeping the big chair warm for me and also entertaining and informing our VOA listeners. What about on your side, Dan? Any personal things you're thankful about in 2018?
I'm absolutely thankful that 2018 has been a good year for my family. We've got everybody in the family is healthy and relatively happy, I think. the 2015 and the 2016 and the 2017 Thanksgiving were a little bit tough for my family, with a couple of close relatives dying within the previous year. And, I went through a change myself last year at this time. I wasn't able to eat very much at Thanksgiving because I had recently had some stomach surgery, but I'm happy to say that I'm doing great. And even though I wasn't able to run the turkey trot this morning because of a recent softball injury, just last week I ran 6.5 miles. Now, of course, I'm down the street from the finish line of the Boston Marathon, and I don't think 26 miles is in my future anytime soon, but just to think that I'm in good enough shape to run 6 or 7 miles is really outstanding, and I'm really happy with how 2018 has wrapped up. And I'm glad and I'm thankful that you've been able to lean on me, and I've been able to continue our conversation and our friendship this year. So thank you very much, Sonny.
Thank you, Dan. And I should also point out for our VOA listeners that Dan also can swing a pretty good bat. I caught him in action with his Montgomery County men's softball team. And how long have you been playing softball, Dan?
Well, the first year that I played a real serious softball season was in 2001. In my early 20s, looking for a distraction. And here I am, I'm an old man on the field in my early 40s, and I'm still having a lot of fun. It's a great diversion and nice to have a chance to have a little team camaraderie once or twice a week. So I'm going to keep playing as long as I can.
Well, Dan, thanks for chatting with us once again, and happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Sonny. Happy Thanksgiving to you. I hope you have a great rest of the day.
Sports reporter Dan Friedel, and Dan was talking with me from Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Dan and I were talking about LeBron James. LeBron returned to Cleveland Wednesday night with the Los Angeles Lakers and led the Lakers to their 10th win of the season. The AP's Mike Hempen reports from Cleveland, Ohio.
LeBron James received a warm welcome back in Cleveland before torching his former team in the Lakers' 109-105 win over the Cavaliers. James was given a thunderous ovation upon his pregame introduction before providing 32 points, 14 rebounds, and 7 assists.
I just try to be the best basketball player, be the best role model, the best leader I could be, both on and off the floor, lead by example for this franchise, and they showed their appreciation.
He either scored or assisted on 11 straight points to help Los Angeles erase a 99-91 deficit. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope hit 4 free throws in the final 15 seconds after Cleveland's Kyle Korver missed a potential game-tying three-point attempt. I'm Mike Hempen.
Thanks, Mike. Elsewhere around the NBA, the league's reigning most valuable player, James Harden, helped propel the Houston Rockets to a narrow victory over the visiting Detroit Pistons. The AP's Adam Spillane reports from Houston, Texas.
James Harden's 43-point night led the Houston Rockets to a 126-124 win over the Detroit Pistons. Harden shot 10 of 20 from the field, and he knocked down all 19 of his free throw attempts. Despite his big offensive night, Rockets guard Chris Paul says Harden's defense was what really set the tone.
James is a really good post defender. I think a lot of people forget that, and that's why at times we put him on bigs. James tonight, all-around game was unbelievable.
Paul added 20 points and 7 assists, while Clint Capella gave the Rockets 27 points, 15 rebounds, and 4 blocks.
With wins like that, it's just we enjoying that moment even more. We know that this is hard. There's a lot of games. No game is easy. So whenever you get a win, it's just bring us together even more.
Blake Griffin led the Pistons with 37 points. 19 of them came in the fourth quarter.
Hit a couple of easy ones, and then the hoop just kind of opened up. We were running offense. We were getting stops, too. Each time you hit a bucket and then you get a stop, that rim gets a little bit bigger.
Detroit drops to 8-7. Adam Spillane, Houston.
Thanks, Adam. And that wraps up the November 22nd Thanksgiving Day edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. And on Thanksgiving Day, let me say thank you to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to the author and VOA engineer Skip Sisk. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm Rick Pantaleo. Coming up on the science edition of Press Conference USA, Dr. Amesh Adalja, MD from the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, joins me and my co-host, VOA health reporter Carol Pearson, to talk about what many regard as the deadliest flu pandemic in history. Listen this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
This is Science in a Minute.
We humans have a built-in need to fit into society and be accepted by our peers and the people we love. Past research has found that the need to seek approval of others was noticeable in 4- and 5-year-old children. A new study from Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia, suggests children are already aware that they're being judged and want the approval of others by 24 months. To make their findings, the researchers conducted 4 experiments with 144 children between 14 and 24 months old. In one experiment, the researchers taught toddlers how to operate a toy robot by remote control and then watched them manipulate the toy with either a neutral expression or just didn't pay attention and pretended to read. The children showed more inhibition and embarrassment when being watched rather than when they weren't being watched. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo. Hello, I'm Rick Pantaleo. Coming up on the science edition of Press Conference USA, Dr. Amesh Adalja, MD from the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, joins me and my co-host, VOA health reporter Carol Pearson, to talk about what many regard as the deadliest flu pandemic in history. Listen this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Oh.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA, or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on The Voice of America.
Hi, this is Victor Beatty, Managing Editor of VOA News. Tune in to The Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.